Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365, a Thursday edition, August 8th, just 29 days away, everybody, from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Joined now by Josh Davis, a first-time guest on Birds 365. We don't have a lot of them. Josh, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you, Josh. I guess we'll start out. Where are you most excited about this team, and what's your biggest worry now that we've been through 10 training camp practices?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am, as Xander mentioned before the break, I mean, I'm usually looking at it very glass half full. Just for this team in perspective, I think Kellen Moore is just immediately the most optimistic part that I have. The offense, what we're hearing with emotions, what you guys are seeing and reporting at camp, the different variations. I mean, heck, it's no wonder that Jalen is playing as well as he is. I don't know if we get into the record-setting camp, how much that necessarily means, but he is playing at a high level.
Elliot's record.
Yes.
By the way, for those, Elliot had the Wilt Chamberlain picture ready to go for like three days.
That was hilarious.
That was.
I told him, even if he throws an interception, you got to put that up there because that was well done by him. So for those who didn't see it, Elliot keeps training camp statistics, and I forget the numbers. I think it was 158. Yep. Was his record for non-interceptions. And the old Wilt Chamberlain picture where he's just Harvey Pollack gave him a piece of paper with 100 points. Everybody uses it. Elliot put 158 and Jalen Hurts is base on that. So well done. A couple shout outs for Elliot this morning. But yeah, he's been great, Josh. He's been very sharp. And to me, that's more important than the, because they're trying to accomplish different things in practice. They're not trying to win plays even. They're just trying to get better technique fundamentally. But he was uncharacteristic in not having, throughout his entire career, he was very good with ball security. And last year he took a step back, which to me was the biggest surprise. And I thought he would regress back to that mean because he takes care of the football. And I think you're seeing it, and I think that's going to be a positive for the Eagles. I think he's going to have a good season when it comes to ball security.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, that's the part that I'm excited about. And also, I think it's Zach Berman, I believe, who asked this in the press conference. Kind of hard to hear as we're listening from the outside, but about, you know, the questions of, okay, cool, Jalen has this record, which was almost like something out of a movie, quite honestly, because you mentioned the 158 and Elliott being able to post that, Jalen's birthday. Like, I don't know if you draw anything up better than him to break it on his birthday, but nonetheless, the question was, is Jalen still being aggressive? Because, you know, it's like, okay, well, you're just dumping it off, you know, 158 times. Does it really matter? But the response was, even from Kellen, like, hey, he's still being aggressive. He's testing. He's taking shots. And from everything that I've read and seen or heard, it's still been to the same respect. So I am hopeful as well, to your point, John, about Jalen coming back to the mean or the average of him being able to take care of the ball. And certainly with him, seems to the vibes, the feel of trusting the offense. So a lot of optimism there, I will say, definitely within the offense. As far as, you know, if we transition some areas that I'm questioning on or a little bit of negatives, you know, there's a couple situations, couple areas. I know that y'all were just going on the topic of Justin Simmons in the safety spot, potential injury concerns, health issues. That to me, I feel like is top of mind right now, naturally because of the Justin Simmons. But, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson, he changes the dynamic of this team. It's fantastic. But can he stay healthy? I mean, he's had some serious injury issues recently. And Reed Blankenship has missed time. Sidney Brown missed with a hamstring and obviously coming off of the ACL injury. So you're only bona fide, sure, guaranteed, like, hey, those are our safety guys, have some injury concerns. And, you know, you go, well, it looks like for the most part, you're riding it out with them and insert Avante Maddox and James Bradberry, I assume, who I'm going to be watching very closely, his tackling and everything else in preseason. But I would probably lean towards safety spot, but very closely could go linebacker position because I'm curious to see how those guys play.
Yeah, we'll dive into that defensive side of the football. I think that's where majority of the questions on this team are coming. But one guy I want to ask you about, Josh, is Saquon Barkley. The newest addition, he was probably the biggest addition, or at least the splash signing of the offseason next to Bryce Huff. So I want to get your take on what you think his role is going to be. I know you're doing some giveaways on your channel. Everybody, make sure you go check out Josh. He has a tremendous channel, the Philly Special Show. So make sure you go and check that out. He's doing some giveaways once he reaches 75,000 subscribers. So congrats to you on that, Josh. But we're doing some Saquon jersey giveaways. I want to get your take on what you think his role will be in this offense coming into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I don't know who isn't excited about Saquon. So, yeah, if you're not, become a member.
Johnny Mack. Johnny Mack is not overly excited about Saquon.
Well, it's ironic because I'm known, Josh, as the Saquon Barkley hater for some reason.
Well,
however, I've yet to find anybody who expects more out of Saquon Barkley than I do. So I don't know how that has dubbed me as a hater. But I think he's going to get about 1,300 rushing yards and about 350, 400 receiving, which is, you know, you're up at 1,650, 1,700. And nobody's gone higher than that number yet. And we'll see what you think. See- but, you know, I think the expectations are kind of skewed because of who else is here. So, you know, that the passing game is going to run through, and Nick is very honest about this, and Kellen is very honest about this. It's going to run through AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, and it should. Anybody who thinks it shouldn't be talking about football. So, at some point, you only have one football, the old adage. You got to feed everybody. I just think, and when you explain it like that, Josh, then everyone goes, oh, yeah, I'm probably right. Or they go less than me. So how could I be the hater? I say to Xander every day, Josh, your thoughts.
Yeah, no. Okay. So I totally respect that. And I get that point because I've said the same thing. It's like Saquon Barkley is not, in my opinion, and I understand, I've seen some comments on shows and live streams and everything else. And people like, oh my gosh, he's going to have 2,000 rushing yards and he's going to have 2,500 scrimmage. It's, you know, you just go astronomical crazy. But the vast majority, when we start coming down to it, is I think it's going to be less as well. I mean, probably right there with you in terms of those same type of numbers because Saquon Barkley, you got him to win a Super Bowl. Like, ultimately, yeah, that's the goal for everyone. If you got him to win a Super Bowl, you want him to be healthy and fresh. If at all possible, don't have a single game with him having 25 carries or 30 carries in the entire season, right? Like, keep him fresh for the playoffs, because you want him fresh. And also, he's going to be, I think that, I believe you were having a conversation with Thomas Mott whenever you were talking about like being a special player versus having a special season, something to that sense. And I'm on the side of, he is still a special player in special moments. Like, he can make, he can turn, he can change a game. He can make a play that not a lot of running backs can. Now, is he going to have a season, to your point, that is a 2,000 yard rushing season? No. And honestly, I hope not, because if he does, that means that we're using him a ton. And then you got some issues of, okay, can he stay healthy? Is there wear and tear for the playoffs? I want Kenny Gainwell. I want Will Shipley to get out there and get some reps. I mean, heck, if we can wrap this thing up on some games and not have, you know, like last season that was, you can't, you know, close out a game to save your life and everything's just anxiety driven every single game. That's what I'm in favor for. I know that's what a lot of people are in favor for, but I'm right there with you. Like, in terms of, if I'm going to have a projection for Saquon, probably a 1300 ish, 300 receiving yards, 7 or 8 touchdowns. That's about where I'm at for Saquon. I think the biggest, and maybe not underrated, because I know some people have been talking about it, but the biggest thing for me is his pass blocking, like to be able to help support Jalen, especially with picking up the blitz. I know we've seen some different reps of one-on-ones, him handling Devin White 3 times. I think Jimmy Kimski was the one who had mentioned that, where I'd seen it initially. And then the same thing for Zach Bond. So you see that versus what I'm reading and hearing about, John, you know, best of Will Shipley. Like, is there concerns pass pro? Does that inhibit him from getting on the field? You know, Kenny G, obviously, yeah, probably, you're high on. So.
Jacoby, pulled his. Well, yeah, that's a big problem for a lot of young running backs, because they're not asked to do it a lot in college these days. So that's usually a work in progress. And Saquon, obviously, is better as a pass protector than most of the backs the Eagles have had in recent history. So that should be an improvement. And I've said that pretty consistently, Josh. The impact, I think, is more important than the numbers. And you've seen it a couple of times in training camp. They ran an option once where Jalen faked the pitch to Saquon Barkley, and everybody went to Barkley, and all of a sudden Jalen's getting 10, 15 yards in the heart of the defense. So, and then they've used him a lot as a decoy, where they're just, you know, trying to get somebody else out of the play so they can go underneath to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Dallas Goedert. So if he can create that spacing in the passing game, better spacing for the big threats, that's like a huge impact. But it's something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, and people want to see stats. I think he could have a big impact, but not a big impact on the stat sheet, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yes. If I'm drafting, you know, we had this conversation too of like, you know, fantasy football, who's drafting where. Saquon's going to be solid, but I was like, don't go think that he's going to be your top three running back in the league. Like, I don't think usage wise that he'll end up being there. He's going to win some games for you. He's going to have a special moment.
Thing that you said is what, but you're right on with that.
Yeah. But I'm just excited to see how it actually helps the other guys. Cause John, as you're saying there with the spacing, I mean, everything from we knew that AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, they're phenomenal. Dallas Goedert to me is a very fascinating wild card, especially seeing the 3 touchdowns that he got at Eagles open practice. How does Kellen Moore use the tight end position? But you can only account for so many, as there's only so much to go around with the offense. But as the defense, you can only account for so many guys. And if you come up and say, hey, we're gonna stop Saquon because he's Saquon, you load the box and great, you make life easier. If not, you play it back, and then all of a sudden you just run it with Saquon. You hand it off. So I love the offense.
And the 4-minute offense, as you mentioned, closing out games should be better. They had a lot of problems.
Please.
This is a quarterback running back that can hopefully close out games a little bit better than they've had previously. So I think it's going to have a big impact, but I just, you know, I've said, I don't think he's a great player anymore, but I think he's a very good player for this team. And I've talked about the Giants dichotomy because that's one of my pet peeves. Like, for the Giants, he makes no sense. They're a bad team. they've already had him as a foundational piece. It didn't work. For the Eagles, he's a luxury. He makes sense, and he's a weapon for a contender. So he's not a good fit for the Giants, but he is a good fit for the Eagles. I think that's evident. And
who didn't love seeing the clip from Joe Shane on Hard Knocks, you know?
And I know about being taken out of context in this day particularly, because I said I didn't write it, but Joe was taken out of context. He said, if we offer him this and on Hard Knocks, so they never offered him a contract. But the clip that came out made it seem like he did. And that's why nobody wants to do Hard Knocks moving forward.
It's tough. I mean, John points that out all the time. The NFL, it's still a business, you know? So there's tough conversations that most fans do not want to hear. Like John points out, if we had a fly on the wall for the Hassan Reddick conversations in Philly,
not every fan
would be happy about that. Yeah. But Josh, let's move into the defense. I think there's a lot more questions on the defense, but I'll start on a good note here. I think I'm very optimistic on what I've heard from Quinyon Mitchell so far, the rookie first rounder. What do you think his role will be on this team? You think he's going to be that starting outside corner? There's a lot of names there. Even your buddy, Isaiah Rogers, who you've had on your show, you're giving away the helmet at 75K, so good stuff there. But what do you think of the cornerback position, Quinyon Mitchell, and how that position might play out?
Yeah, it's I think as Fangio said in one of the recent pressers, you know, being asked about Quinyon, he's like, well, no, not necessarily the plan initially for the slot, but it's a luxury, like you say, with the versatility that he has. It's a great position to be in with that. But I think long term, obviously, he's going to be in the outside. I'm curious to see, and I don't even know really that I've come to the conclusion of how I think that it'll play out for how soon or how much he would move to the outside. Because if Slay, from John, you can attest to this, seems to be playing well, and most of all the reports are that he looks fast and fresh and, you know, healthy from the surgery.
Still thinks he can outrun Isaiah.
Well, and that's not. we could see about that. I will never actually get the race, but I love the optimism from Slay. So you got to love that. And you know, appreciate the veteran leadership, the fact that Q looks up to him, he's getting tips and pointers. Maybe Slay goes the entire season. Like, at some point, there's a drop off. Either that or he retires on top, right? Like, we win the Super Bowl, he moves on. But at some point, you see it from every player. Now, hopefully, he can keep up for this year. But the luxury is, if Q doesn't have to play on the outside much, and then, you know, hey, you're like, well, you got some injuries, or Slay does start declining, you just slide Q over there to the outside. But that's the part where I'm going to be curious or interested about, is seeing, does Q take over on the outside at some point in the season, or he's got the ability because Vic's moved him inside, and he's a guy who, you know, seems to be able to play with some physicality. He's able to tackle. They've moved him into the dime hybrid linebacker type of role. So just moving him as a piece all over, I think it speaks a lot for Fangio, because he's not gonna insert, as we know, a young player out there unless he's confident in him. So I think you got a baller. I felt that way. People, you know, say, hey, who do you want? Draft night before the draft, I'm like, Quinyon Mitchell, please give him to me. I assumed you had to trade up by the fact that he just came and landed in your lap there. I mean, it's like, okay, you just go ahead and take that one. But
well, I want to get your thoughts, because you're an Eagles fan, Josh. I want to get your thoughts, because I've said this. It's amazing to me as a reporter, because, and even we do it, Vic Fangio is so well respected in this league. You know, Sean Desai was here last year. We know how that went, but he is a direct disciple of Vic Fangio. Vic loves Sean, by the way, for those who don't know. If he did what Vic is doing with Quinyon Mitchell, we would excoriate him. We would say, what in God's name are you doing? You're playing him in the slot. You're playing him, as you mentioned, dime. Essentially, a linebacker in the dime package. What are you doing? Now, Vic showed up in the spring, and he told us all, I like to throw a lot at him early and then scale back. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? Most people start slowly, and then you build up. He's the exact opposite. He's like, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at him, and then I'll scale it back. And he's thrown the kitchen sink at Quinyon Mitchell, And it's been great. I mean, he hasn't been overwhelmed. He seems competent in all these roles. But ultimately, even Vic admitted that this week, he's playing outside corner, ultimately. You don't draft somebody in the first round to not play cornerback. And he's talking about outside cornerback when he says that. And Cooper DeJean is still here. Hurt, but he's coming. And he's a really high prospect, high-level prospect, who's probably going to play inside. So, you know, are we just saying, oh, it's Vic Fangio, so it's great, or should Quinyon Mitchell be on the outside? Because that's where he's going to be anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not get there as quickly as possible?
You know, that's it's a great question, and you're right. There's maybe a double standard. 40 years is a little different, obviously, for Vic Fangio than a Sean Desai. So maybe sometimes it's a do as I say instead of a do as I do situation. But he's earned the right to try things out, and he sees something that's like, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's give you some reps here. If we're pressed into that point later in the season, maybe it's a positive, or I guess it is a positive because you have the reps for Q. But you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, he sees enough to be able to throw that at him, but eventually move him to the outside. I think that it's just a little bit of a surprise for naturally all of us, but it speaks to the surprise for the coaching staff, I believe, of, hey, Isaiah Rogers is maybe better than we thought he would be. Certainly not as much rust from what all the reports were from you guys at mini camp and seeing him there. But then able to keep up that level of play. So the question that, you know, it's got to be, at least in my mind, is, hey, we're trying to get the best players on the field. And with his scheme and his system, moving players around all over the place, or at least kind of give the offense different presentations. And, you know, if you got Zay out there and you got Q and you got Slay and you have to mix match and have different alignments, maybe that's not the worst thing. That's the only thing in my mind where he's going like, I just got to get these guys on the field and we'll slowly figure this thing out. And again, it goes back to the depth. Eventually you can move Q over to the outside, but for sure. I mean, like you mentioned, and as Fangio said in the presser, you don't draft a first round corner for him to not play outside. I mean, that's where Q's ultimate spot will be, but it is fascinating. It's a great problem to have because I don't think many of us figured we'd be sitting here, especially you rewind six months ago and be, hey, you got your first round corner and he's playing the slot right now in most first team reps. Like, but it's a good luxury to have. And I will trust Vic because to your point, yes, if it was Desai, the hypocrisy would be a little bit there. Cause I would be screaming and yelling like, what on earth is he doing? So
well, yeah. No, I appreciate the honesty there. Yeah. I think everybody would. So I think it's to me, it's kind of funny, but I get why people think is tremendous. I get why people, in a lot of ways, I think the Eagles' defensive plan was, you know, let's build up the offense and have the best offense in football, and Vic will figure it out on defense. And
yeah,
I think that's kind of the plan. I really.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for Black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One Black man sued for being told, "You Black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
We do. And he just, you're right. He has earned the right to not be questioned, but I just find it a little bit funny that if Sean showed up, and Sean, because Sean mimics everything that Bick does. And you saw it last year with Bradbury. When he moved Bradbury to the slot, and I'll raise my hand, we were all like, what the hell are you doing, dude? And he was totally doing the same thing. He was like throwing the kitchen sink at everybody and seeing what they could do. And everybody was rightfully saying, what are you doing? It's just, that's a little funny to me, I think. And it shows you the difference between experience and inexperience. Even though he learned from him, he was doing the exact same thing Vic would do.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. You know, I guess he's got the, like you say, the 40 years of experience to look back and go, hey, I remember doing that and it worked for, with this guy or this alignment. It didn't necessarily work as much for those. That's where obviously he'll get the benefit of the doubt from most people. But yeah, if it's your, hey, we're going to try this, you know, you got the one season with Chicago and we're going to see how this actually works now. The wheels were ready to fall off. It didn't take much. And then it was like, okay, he's lost his mind. Everybody just jumped ship, me included. I was like, I don't know what we're doing.
Gosh, let's move into the linebacker core. I think the biggest, for me, the biggest question on the defense, what's your concern level with N'Kobe Dean? Start with him. Just coming into this year, where are you on N'Kobe Dean?
Yeah, I'm concerned about N'Kobe. I've gotten a lot of comments, and you guys maybe have too, as far as especially mentioning him. But a lot of times whenever I'm going over the show recaps from camp and everything else, and including Johnny Mack's tweets and everything, you know, like I report what you guys are throwing out there. And so, you know, if there is something positive, I'm like, hey, you know what? N'Kobe did this today. He was good in run defense, or he was good at blitzing. But in terms of coverage, people keep going like, why are you hating on him in coverage? I'm like, I'm not seeing or hearing much of anything in coverage. If anything that gets reported, it's usually he got burned by somebody. And you saw it in the Eagles open practice, which, you know, back to Fangio, called him out specifically, which, you know, some people love it, some people don't. I appreciate the honesty, but it, you know, that's the most concerning part to me. And I think it is for a lot of people, because as Fangio said as well, you especially look at today's defense and or today's offenses and the way that they're utilized the slot position or extra wide receiver on the field, your linebackers need to cover. And, you know, we certainly know that from last season. I cannot see. I've got PTSD still. I've got the visions. I've got nightmares of Nicholas Morrow over the middle. I've got nightmares of Zach Cunningham was serviceable-ish. But again, I mean, we were living with scraps there last season. And even N'Kobe at brief times. I'm just concerned with what I'm hearing and reading. John, you can speak to this more, but I just, right now, I would be shocked if he ends up getting on the field as a starter, because I haven't heard much of anything of like, oh, cool, great. There's some confidence level of, yeah, he can actually guard with relative consistency for a linebacker. I don't care how great he is with run defense. If he can't do that, there's no way he's going to see the field.
Yeah, I like your description of serviceable-ish, because I think that might be the upside of the Eagles linebackers in coverage, unfortunately. You know, one of the issues, Josh, is, you know, remember, the Eagles offense isn't game planning for the Eagles defense, so they're just trying to get better. And I always try to put myself in the opposing coach's eyes, like, all right, what am I going to attack? And you say, defensively, you're like, oh, shit. What am I going to do? Who am I going to try to stop? And offensively, you're like, I'm going after those linebackers. I don't care who it is. I don't care who you like. Devin White, Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, Trott, who's, you know, I think now is in the equation for getting on the field at least later in the season if things go wrong. Ben Van Sumeren, same category. People are going to target those linebackers in coverage. And Bake's going to have to, Bake's going to have to figure it out, try to protect them in the best way possible. That's my biggest concern. You mentioned safety. I think CJ is a good player. Now the health. Yes, that's an issue. I think Reed is among the most underrated players on the Eagles. I think Sydney's going to be fine. And the Eagles think he's a high level prospect. He'll be back in the mix early in the season. I'm way more concerned about the linebackers than the safeties. I think everybody's going to game plan to get those linebackers in space in the passing game, to the point maybe you see a ton of dime at some point from Vic Fangio. If guys can hold up and run defense, it's that bad at linebacker. That's my perspective. I hate to be a downer. That's
I can appreciate it because, you know, just keeping it real as Fangio would. I can appreciate keeping it real. It is a lot of question marks, no doubt. I mean, you got to have people that even with Devin White, you want to bring him up and people are, you know, lots of optimism and I am as well, but he's got to prove it. Like last year was not there. I know there were some injuries and contract and, you know, all this other stuff. So like a refocus, got to prove it, a chance for him, all that. So he could be fine, right? Like, but a lot of these are ifs, really big ifs and questions. And you have those at a lot of positions, as we could say safety, but safety feels more of those if they stay healthy. Linebacker is if they play well and if they stay healthy. And you do have some areas, as Fangio was talking about, saying like, you know, hey, in today's NFL, you got to have good inside linebackers to play good defense. Like you need that for a defense. I think that was telling. And also him to be like, we're coming along. He's not there yet. So, you know, what does it tell you in terms of who did he want? How he went out and got, how confident he feels about the position based on what he's seeing so far. Granted, they did go out and get Zach Bond pretty quickly in free agency. So it does tell you that Fangio was high on him to a certain point. Was that, you know, was that immediately like, hey, that's going to be one of my starters? I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's looking like that point now where he's going to be a starter as of, you know, how he's played in camp. But it's an odd format because I think, you know, a lot of people, myself included, whenever you got Zach Bond, the question or the thought was, oh, well, he'll be more of the edge rusher, right? Like he'll just be another depth piece. You can move him around a little bit. And very quickly, in multiple press conferences, it seemed like Fangio's been unsolicited. Hey, who do you like at linebacker? Don't ask specifically about Bond. And he just throws his name out there. So the potential, great. But, you know, you do think about to last year and it feels a little similar because we're going, okay, you may like them. There might be some potential there, but do we have something that we can hold our hat on and prove it? I don't know. And the scariest part to me, John, about what you said is if the offense is not game planning right now just to specifically beat that defense, but they're just testing things out for a offense that we saw all of last season was like, hey, when in doubt, what do? You attack the linebackers, you throw it over the middle of the field. First down, and you just do it time and time again. I hope it's not a replay from last season. I know everyone does, but yeah, I mean, I can understand it is right up there in terms of safety and linebacker concerns. I mean, those are the two for me. Mine's a little more the health concerns because I don't know where you go beyond that with the safeties. And I am very excited to see the potential of Zach Bond. But again, all the reports and what we've seen from coverage, it doesn't make you rest easy on that. That's for sure.
No way. Josh, last one for me, brother. Thank you for being here, by the way. Make sure everybody, if you're listening, go and follow Josh on your subscribe to him on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter at the PHI Special. Josh, appreciate you being here. What do you think the floor for this team on defense has to be? You talk about Super Bowl aspirations. Last year, they were the 31st ranked passing defense. You obviously weren't going to a Super Bowl with that type of defense. What do you think the floor has to be for this team to reach their potential or reach their ultimate goal, which would be getting back to the Super Bowl and winning it? How good does this defense have to be? Where would you put them on the ranking in the league for the floor?
Yeah, so I'll keep it optimistic here. A 31st ranked defense almost won you the division, right? So, like, if you had, what, a 29th ranked defense, maybe you win the division? No, I guess. If we start there and then we work our way back. But realistically, and I think most everyone would agree to this, you have the old adage of, you know, defense wins championships, but it's, you know, you can argue against that. This team is built, and there are other teams in the NFL, but this team is built. The offense is going to win the Super Bowl. If you're going to do it, it will be through the offense. The defense needs to be serviceable enough. It reminds me, not to the same extent, but just to use the analogy of Kansas City's first, winning against us, which maybe people don't want to bring up, but that was not a defense winning that form, as opposed to last year, the defense showed up in a big way to carry them a lot of times through the season and even in the playoffs. This is going to be offense. You got to go out there and put up close to 30 points every game. Like, that should be the expectation. You have so many weapons. You have a coordinator. I know there could be some slower growing pains early figuring things out, but once you start get humming towards the end of the season, hopefully that's the case. The offense is what this team is built around, and they don't shy away from that. But the defense, for me, I mean, just be average, just be middle of the pack. Like, I think if you're a top 15, you could be that 15th ranked defense. That should be enough to get there because of the way that this offense is. And in today's NFL, we've seen it a number of times from other teams. You should be in the game if you can make a few stops, if you can get a few turnovers. It doesn't have to be the prettiest. You just have to be able to duct tape it together, hold it together enough for the offense to get on the field.
But same thing. Top five offense, Bick will figure it out. That's the plan.
Yeah.
At the PHI special, as Xander mentioned, real quick, I forgot to mention Bryce Huff, your concern there.
Yes.
$17 million pass rusher. I bring up, look, nobody looks good against Lane Johnson. Hassan Reddick didn't look good against Lane Johnson in practice. He showed up when he didn't have to play against Lane Johnson. So your concern level on Bryce Huff.
Yeah, I think that you kind of beat me to it there, as far as if he's going up against Lane or even Mailata occasionally. I don't know if he's seen many of those reps, but for either of those guys, for players going up against, you don't look the best against those tackles. It's a little bit concerning because of, you know, sure, you're not hearing a ton, but Fangio being as brutally honest as he was of going like, yeah, he's not there yet, about more of the coverage piece, but still, if he's going to be asked to be in different positions in this defense, you know, you signed a guy, you paid him a lot of money. The thought or hope would be that, yes, it's still early, but you'd go, yeah, you know, we're confident in him. Now, again, you can like, love, or hate it, but that's who Fangio is, so he's going to call it like he sees it. But there's a little bit. I wouldn't sound the alarms for sure. You know, I'm not freaking out by any means, but the Haas situation, that wasn't going to happen. We're seeing it play out in New York. But either way, you paid money for Bryce Huff. Hopefully he's the guy that gets you those 10 sacks. I do believe that there's not going to be an issue as far as his work ethic and the way that he plays. But, you know, in terms of production, especially in those high leverage situations, does he make plays? Does he come up with those? Or are we sitting here, you know, 5-6 games into the season going, man, I don't know, like, insert somebody else. We see if Nolan has a shot, possibly, you know, I would love to see it because I'm a huge Nolan Smith fan, but there's a little, I would say we're not at a panic mode, but there's just a little bit of concern on that side.
Yeah, the concern for me is if he's not good, the pass rush is in trouble, because look, you like Nolan. I like Nolan too, but we haven't seen it yet from him, so I don't think we can count on him. But we'll see what ends up happening. Josh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say real quick, the one point that I made for Bryce Huff as well, I do think that he's kind of like that wild card for you, because if he's great, in my mind, you need somebody to take a little bit of attention off of Jalen Carter, right? Like Jalen Carter, if he gets one-on-ones, he's going to be wreaking havoc all day, but he's not going to get many because people know how great he is. If Bryce Huff gets you 10 sacks, if he gets more than 10 sacks, phenomenal. But if he gets you 10 sacks, it's enough for a defense to go, hey, look, we have to somewhat be concerned about him.
Right.
And if you get a little bit of attention off, that's where Jalen Carter. So to your point, Xander, whatever you could do to take some pressure off of Jalen Carter, even Milton Williams, you throw that out there. I'm excited to see what he does. Fangio finally has him now after trying to trade for him last year. But yeah, I'm excited. We'll see on that note. One quick question too, John. I was going to make sure. Is your knee doing good? I appreciate you gutting it out during Eagles.
It's a calf.
But, oh, calf. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I got it. I've had like 6 operations on my knees, so that's always an issue. But the calf. Yeah, the calf. I tripped over a tripod. The worst people in the world are those TV people. But I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Okay, well, we appreciate you gutting it out. Seriously, because you guys are the eyes and ears, so I just go based off of y'all's reports. But I do appreciate
I got through 4 practices, so if I can get through that, I'm good.
There
so
you
I
go.
Appreciate it.
Johnny Mack's on the pup list, Josh. He's slowly working himself back, and he's getting up on
football injury list. Yeah.
There you go. You never know what that means, but there you go. Yeah.
Josh, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it. Your first time on, we appreciate you doing it. Your YouTube channel is great. I encourage everybody, if you're watching, to go and subscribe for a chance to win the helmet. The helmet is as good as it gets. It's a white, it's signed. It's
really Isaiah when he brought that out. Everybody was excited by it. Now Isaiah's playing tremendously, by the way. He seems to have taken a lead over Kaylee Ringo. But ultimately it's going to be Quinyon. So my thought is, why not get there as quickly as possible? Because Quinyon is a high, high level prospect.
Yep. So we'll see what they do there. Josh, thank you for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, brother.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you.
All right. See you.
Thanks,
Josh. There's Josh Davis joining the show. Good first time guest there. Appreciate him coming on. Thought he had some good insight, as he always does. Make sure you guys go and check him out on YouTube. He does a great work there. So we'll take one more. Actually, no, we only have 3 minutes left, John. Let's just get to the end here. Good show today. We're one day out now, John, from the first preseason game. We talked to Jeff Kerr, a reporter.
Preseason football, is there anything better?
Everything. Not only preseason football. Preseason football on Cozy TV.
Cozy. We're giving pre-plugs. Come on, Cozy TV.
Yeah, you're right. We need a
sponsor. You're getting NFL games. Come on.
They haven't heard that. They haven't had this much pub in years, yeah. Cozy TV.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for Cozy TV.
You know, John, but here, you know, we joke about it, but here's the one thing I will ask you as a fan. I'm more of a fan, morphed into the media role I'm in right now. We have a lot of people watching that are fans. What's the viewer's guide? Like, what do you look for? You're not looking for Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Are you looking for the depth guys? Are you looking for special teams?
Like, you're looking for guys. Like Anaya Smith is a guy. He's got to play well in these games. He's had a bad camp. Nick didn't dispute that. It's hard to dispute that. You know, N'Kobe Dean in coverage, we were just talking about. He's going to have to play, and he's going to have to improve in coverage to get back to where he once was as a foundational piece. It's amazing to think. He was once a foundational piece of this defensive plan. He's got to step up. A lot of people are excited about Johnny Wilson. You get to see him for the first time, see his size and how that equates against somebody else going against another team. And that's the biggest part. They've spent 10 days practicing against each other. Brandon Graham talks about this all the time. When his many battles over the years is with Lane Johnson that I just talked about. Like, they know everything about each other, everything. And Brandon can maybe get the better of Lane a little bit at times because he knows everything about him and vice versa as well. Now you're facing a new team and a talented team, one of the best teams in the NFL. So it's going to be mainly depth against depth, but it's going to be able to test your depth against new looks, new coaching. And if anybody takes the preseason seriously, it's Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh. They won 24 straight preseason games. They did lose to Washington last year, which tells you how much I pay attention to the preseason. But that's amazing to win 24 consecutive preseason games. And the Ravens, by the way, have been fined multiple times for too much contact in the off season and spring work.
Physical squad.
He is an old school coach. For people that have been around Eagles football for years, they know him from when he was here. It's one of Andy Reid's top assistants. old school guy, preaches physicality. A lot of good things from playing the Ravens in the preseason. Hopefully one is injuries, because Zach McPherson and Sean Bradley both got hurt down there last year. So that's the worst thing preseason, is obviously you want to come out as healthy as possible.
Yep, good stuff there. Great show today, Johnny, Matt. Good, two good guests today with Josh Davis and Jeff Kerr. We appreciate both of them for being here on the show today. I thought they both brought good insight, different perspectives. So good stuff there. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll be back on Jacob Sports from 2 to 6 today with the National Football Show. And then we'll be back in our regular time slot tomorrow on Birds 365 from 8 to 10 a.m. So thank you all for being here. Make sure you guys hit that like button. I think we had a really good day on the likes, up 114 likes so far. So thank you all for the likes, for the comments, for everything, for the subscriptions. And then a shout out to our four new members that we got today. Kill Adele became a member. Thank you, Kill Adele. S Betts became a member. Thank you, S Betts. Abraham, thank you, Abraham. And Stephen McHale, thank you guys for becoming a member. One super chat we missed, John. James Carver, thank you, James. Appreciate it, $5. Not bad for Josh and first show, given it's like having a Forrest match against Mike Tyson or first QB start against an LT when you show up to go with Jay Mack. Good stuff, James Carver. I agree. Going up with Johnny Mack is no small feat, and I thought Josh did a good job. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Johnny Mack, great show today, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. All right, man.
All right, sounds good. Everybody have a good day. Get ready for preseason football.
Tomorrow is officially a football Friday, everybody. See you tomorrow on Birds 365. Hit that like button on your way out. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.